This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Nabi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'een. Welcome to this live stream on thematic tafsir. And the reason why I've put this together today is to just explain the concept behind what is thematic tafsir, how does it work. Right, so many of you may or may not be familiar with my book Themes of the Quran, which is a summary of the themes of the different Jews of the Quran. And a question I get quite often about this book is, what do we mean by themes? What does themes have to do with tafsir? Right, this concept of themes is something that is relatively new in the field of tafsir. It's a relatively new methodology of tafsir. And what we're going to discuss in this video today is, what is thematic tafsir? How does it work? What are the benefits of it? And how does it fit in with the overall scheme of tafsir? So, to begin, tafsir is a very broad field. There are many, many approaches to tafsir. It's not just one way of doing things. I have a large tafsir library behind me. And if you look at those books, they represent a variety of methodologies. So, just looking now, we have Al-Qurtubi, which is a fiqh-based approach to tafsir. We have Ibn Ashur, which is more a rational approach to tafsir. We have Al-Tabari, which is more a narration-based approach to tafsir, and many, many others. The point being that different authors have different methodologies of doing tafsir. And most of these methodologies are acceptable as long as they meet certain conditions. Now, the methodology of thematic tafsir, or discussing the themes of the Quran, this is relatively new compared to most of the other methods of tafsir. So there's a history of how tafsir has evolved over time, that in the time of the early scholars, tafsir was primarily narration based, meaning people would simply say, this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interpreted this verse, this is what the Sahaba said about this verse. It was simply conveying narrations from those before them. And this became the primary methodology of tafsir, called tafsir by narration. This is the method you will find in books like Tafsir al-Tabari and Ibn Kathir, that they rely primarily on narrations. Now, this is important, this is good, this is beneficial, this is foundational. Really, the foundations of tafsir is narration-based tafsir. But a lot of people misunderstand and they think that this is it. This is the be all and end all of tafsir, that it's only about narration and nothing else. It's just narrated-based tafsir. No, rather, narrated tafsir gives us our foundation. It gives us our limits. It lets us know what can be interpreted further and what can't. What are the limits of opinions? What verses have specific set meanings and which verses are open to interpretation? They give us the fundamentals of tafsir. Beyond that, scholars can go deeper into any verse of the Quran in a variety of different ways. So over the years, scholars have developed their own methodologies of tafsir for diving deeper into verses, for diving deeper into surahs, which may not have been explained by those who came before them. And these methodologies initially became known as tafsir by opinion. Now, the word tafsir by opinion is again a misunderstood term in our times. People hear the word opinion and they run away. They think that opinion means that the individual is just making up his own tafsir. That's not what tafsir by opinion is. Tafsir by opinion is actually, you know, if you want to use a more specific term, it's actually tafsir through ijtihad. It's actually an ijtihadi approach to tafsir, where the scholar is using the principles of Islam to derive new rulings or deeper understandings of a verse of the Quran. So it's not something that's just pulled out of nowhere. It's done using a proper methodology. So in recent times, the great tafsir by Ibn Ashur is a good example of opinion-based tafsir. There are many early examples of this, the most famous being the tafsir by Fakhruddin al-Razi. These are ulama who applied ijtihad to the field of tafsir, and they used this to arrive at deeper conclusions about the verses. After that, other scholars developed their own approaches as well. So we have fiqh-based tafsir, which is the methodology of Al-Qurtubi and many others, where they take a verse of the Quran and they extract from it every possible fiqh ruling that they can think of. So they just go into the fiqh of each and every verse. They just extract fiqh upon fiqh. So there could be one verse of the Quran and they could derive 19 to 20 fiqh rulings from that verse. So this is called a fiqh-based approach to tafsir. Now, the approach we're looking at today is something relatively new, something that's only become popular in the past 100 years, and that's called a thematic approach to tafsir, thematic tafsir. So again, when people hear this is something new, they hear this is something that's only become popular in recent times, the first reaction is to run away. The first reaction is that this is some kind of innovation or some kind of changing the religion. In reality, it is none of this. It is simply a continuation or a new way of doing tafsir through ijtihad. And it's really building off the writings of early tafsir by opinion scholars in a new way. So what is thematic tafsir and why did it come about? Thematic tafsir refers to that approach where a scholar looks at the relationship between different verses of the Quran. So why did this come about? This came about because there is a lot of writings by the enemies of Islam, the Islamophobes, the evangelists, basically those people, the Orientalists, who are determined to make the Quran look bad. A lot of their writings revolve around this idea that the Quran is incoherent, that it just jumps from topic to topic without any actual benefit, without any actual flow, that it's like talking about death, then it's talking about divorce, then it's talking about jihad, then it's talking about Allah. It's like just jumping from topic to topic. So the claim made by the enemies of Islam is that the Quran is incoherent. And as a response to this claim, to show that the Quran is completely coherent in a miraculous way, beyond human understanding, in the most subtle ways possible, scholars began to write about the thematic unity of the Quran. They began to show the link between one verse and another, one surah and another, one juz and another, to show how it flows like a conversation, how the jump from topic to topic is not neutral, it's not random, it's all done in a very wise manner. And this approach that developed over the past 100 years became known as thematic tafsir. And I myself love this approach. I love this approach so much that I wrote this book about it called Themes of the Quran, where essentially for each of the juz of the Quran, I summarize what is the core theme relating all of the verses and surahs in that juz, that how they all flow together to discuss a specific topic. So for example, in the second juz of the Quran, for someone just reading it for the first time, it seems to be just a random group of verses, some talking about some topic, others talking about other topics. But if you take time to reflect, you will realize that the second juz of the Quran focuses on the Sharia, the laws of Islam. And everything in it focuses on law. So the laws are listed, they are detailed, there are stories about those who obey the law, those who disobey the law. It's all related to the laws of Islam. It's the same towards the end of the Quran. If you look, for example, at the 27 juz, again, it seems to be a group of disconnected surahs and disconnected verses on a variety of topics. But if you think deeper and you reflect, you realize that the 27 juz is all about the afterlife, with a particular focus on the descriptions of paradise and hell. So this reflection on what connects the verses and surahs to each other and how the Quran flows, this is called thematic tafsir. Now, it's not entirely new. It's not entirely new. You will find elements of this in classical tafsir books, like the writings of Fakhruddin al-Razi, that he does occasionally discuss how certain verses are linked to other verses. You also see this in the classical methodology of dividing the Quran into Makkan and Madinan. We can actually call that a precursor to thematic tafsir. Because essentially, how is the division of the Quran into Makkah and Medina done? It's done by showing the themes of Makkah surahs and the themes of Medina surahs and how they differ from each other. So from the very beginning, it's very clear that stories of the prophets is a Makkah theme. The Sharia is a Medinan theme. Jihad is a Medinan theme. The Munafiqun is a Medinan theme. So the themes are there from the beginning. And they are recognized by early scholars that they would mention that this surah discusses jihad, so it must be Medinan. This surah focuses on stories of the prophets, so it must be Makkah. So you can see elements of thematic tafsir in early writings. It's just not the core focus of the book, because this need for it didn't exist yet. The need for it came about in our times. Now in our times, focusing on the themes of the Quran is really, really beneficial. Because even when we are trying to teach young people tafsir, a lot of them, they want to know what's the link. They want to know why is this coming after that? Why is this surah talking about that? Why is the surah jumping from discussing the story of Musa alayhi salam to talking about marriage and divorce? So to be able to identify the links and to discuss the links, this is very, very beneficial. And so this is something that scholars in recent times have taken up, the methodology of thematic tafsir. Unfortunately, most of the books in this field have not been translated into English. Many of the great works in this field have been written in Urdu, some of them in Arabic. One that has been translated into English, my personal favorite, is the thematic commentary on the Quran by Muhammad al-Ghazali. I do have a copy somewhere here, but I'm not too sure where, so I won't reach out for it now. But Muhammad al-Ghazali's book on this topic is excellent. But again, his book is 700 pages. And knowing that most people are not going to read a 700-page book on the topic, I went ahead and wrote my own summary of it. Themes of the Quran is only about 80 to 90 pages long. I've written it in this way so that people can read an entire summary of the Quran's meanings thematically in less than a week. That's really the goal of this book. And if you haven't read Themes of the Quran yet, you can get a copy. I'm actually going to put the link in the chat box right now. So, okay, there you go. The link is up in the chat box. So this book of mine, Themes of the Quran, I actually wrote this during the month of Ramadan. And what happened was, this was about 6 or 7 years ago, I had really fallen in love with this concept of thematic tafsir. And I wanted to do something similar for my tafsir a day in Ramadan. So every day during that month of Ramadan, I wrote a summarized thematic tafsir of one juz of the Quran. And by the end of the month, I had the entire Quran summarized in 30 chapters, put it together as an ebook, and it's been available ever since, alhamdulillah. Many people have benefited from it, and I hope that you all will benefit from it too. Now, if you get it from the link attached to the video, you will get it at half price with a bonus book, right? You will get it at half price with a bonus book. So that's a tafsir of the Quran summarized at half price with a bonus tafsir book written a few years earlier. This is something which I believe everyone can benefit from. Alhamdulillah, whoever has read it has really thanked me for writing it and ask Allah to accept it from us and to add it to our scale of good deeds. The month of Ramadan is less than 2 months away. And really, the thing that I want all of us to do with this upcoming Ramadan is to connect with the Quran on a deeper level. Most of us are still on lockdown, right? I mean, 1 year ago, when this lockdown thing started, we all were wondering how we're going to get through a Ramadan in lockdown. And subhanAllah, we are approaching a second Ramadan in lockdown, and it's become almost like a normal thing for many of us. Many people we love have not made it to see this upcoming Ramadan. We might not make it to see the upcoming Ramadan. May Allah grant us life as long as life is good for us, and grant us a death upon Iman when death is better for us. But the reality is, we don't know how many Ramadans we have left, especially with the rate at which people are leaving this world. And so for this upcoming Ramadan, I highly recommend that each of us take time to understand the Quran, not just to recite it, but to understand it. How? Number one, recite it every day. Number two, follow a lecture series about it every day. There are enough lecture series coming up every day in the month of Ramadan, and inshallah I will be involved with one as well this year. I hope so as well. And number three, and this is where a lot of us fail to do, right? Many of us are reading Quran, many of us are listening to the lecture series, but number three is so important: the tadabbur. Reflect on the meanings of the Quran. This is so important. Take time every day. I mean, we are in lockdown, we are at home anyway. Take time to just sit and think about the Quran, to reflect on it, to reflect on how it relates to you, to reflect on how you can move forward with understanding the Quran and practicing it, and how you can benefit from it. This reflection on the Quran is one of the most powerful forms of meditation that you can ever do. It can completely transform your life. So make sure that we all take time every day in this upcoming Ramadan to reflect on the meanings of the Quran. So I'm going to take a few questions now. If anyone has any questions related to Ramadan or tafsir or thematic tafsir or any of these topics, you can post it in the chat box and I will take it now. But while waiting for questions, I just want to narrate the story about how I got involved in this field. So it goes back to when I was 15 years old, right? I was 14 or 15 years old, and I was watching the late Ahmad Didat Rahimahullah's lecture on the Quran, the miracle of miracles. And in this lecture, Ahmad Didat Rahimahullah, he mentioned how Muslims don't read the Quran and they don't understand the Quran. So how are they ever going to live by the Quran? And he mentioned this over and over again, that why are we not understanding the Quran? Why are we not living by the Quran? And at that point in time, I mean, I was 15 years old. I was in my third year of the Alim program. I was studying Islam. But I realized I've been studying fiqh, I've been studying hadith, I've been studying all these other subjects. I've never read the Quran with understanding from cover to cover. And I found that to be troublesome. So that Ramadan, I remember I was at my grandparents' house at Ramadan. My mother was gone for Umrah. But I took it upon myself. I got hold of the translation of the Quran. And the only translation I could get hold of at that time was the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation. I still have the same copy with me today. I sat with it. And every day for that month of Ramadan, when I was 15 years old, I recited one juz of the Quran, and I read the translation of the entire juz as well, and I read the commentary as well. And by the end of that Ramadan, I was transformed. I was completely transformed by what I had read. It just completely blew me away. You know, to realize that we have this Quran with us, and we've never truly read it and understood it. It was a awakening for me at the age of 15, and every Ramadan since, I have made it a mission for myself to recite the Quran, to understand the Quran deeper, and to share that understanding with others. And these ebooks that I've put together, these video series that I've put together, they're all just a continuation of that. It started back with that one Ramadan, with that one copy of the Quran, and reciting it. And this has now become an annual thing that we do every Ramadan, inshallah. And I make dua that Allah gives the reward of that to Ahmadida rahimahullah, because it was really his lecture that inspired me to start reading the Quran with understanding. And Allah knows best what direction my life would have headed in if I hadn't done that at the age of 15. So may Allah have mercy on him and accept his good deeds and overlook his mistakes. So we come to the end of this video. Again, a reminder, if you click the link, you can get an e-copy of Themes of the Quran with a free second ebook at half price. And I hope that you find it beneficial. As we don't have any questions, I will close off now. I really hope you all found this video beneficial and you all understand now what is thematic tafsir, how it works, how it fits into the broader scheme of things, and how it doesn't really contradict the methodology of tafsir, right? So there are actually a couple of questions coming through now. The first question is that, can we make new tafsirs in the 21st century? Isn't all tafsir already done and complete? Well, that's actually a very good question, right? So the question is, can we bring up new tafsirs in the 21st century? Aren't all tafsirs complete? Well, Islamically, it's not the 21st century yet. It's still the 15th century. So inshallah, we still got six more centuries before the 21st. But I get what you're saying. Understand that the Quran is Allah's speech, and the depth of Allah's speech is infinite. And therefore, I don't think it's possible to ever stop having new tafsirs, because Allah's speech is so miraculous in nature that I really believe every year until the end of time, Allah will inspire people with deeper and deeper meanings of the Quran. That this is just the nature of the Quran, that one verse can have thousands of pages of tafsir, and every generation is discovering new meanings to that verse because of the infinite nature of Allah's kalam. So it is perfectly plausible in our times to have a new tafsir, a deeper tafsir, that does not, this is the point, it does not contradict the tafsirs that came before. It simply builds upon them. And Ibn Ashur's book is the best example of this, right? If you look at the shelf behind me, at the very top shelf, on one hand is Qurtubi, on the other side is Ibn Ashur. Ibn Ashur's tafsir was written less than a century ago, right? In the 20th century of the Gregorian calendar. And it is considered by everybody I know in the field of tafsir as one of the greatest tafsirs ever written. But this was written in the 20th century. This is a modern book, a modern work, right? It's 30 volumes long. It covers the entire Quran. It brings new in-depth explanation of verses that people didn't think about before. It is completely possible for every generation, for whomever Allah wills, to bless with a deeper understanding of the Quran, or perhaps simply with an understanding that is relevant to their times. So perhaps there are topics in our times that people before us did not write about, and our tafsirs can reflect on that as well. Right? The second question that came through is, what are the limits of thematic tafsir? How does an author know that they are staying within the limits of what is orthodox? Again, excellent question. The limits of any form of tafsir, okay, is the tafsir by narration. So I mentioned this at the beginning of the video, that our foundation of tafsir is tafsir by narration. This is the foundation. What has been narrated to us from the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, this forms the foundation, the base. Any tafsir we do beyond that is ijtihad. And the ijtihad cannot contradict the narrations. They can simply build upon them. So as long as the tafsir by opinion, or the fiqh tafsir, or the thematic tafsir, or the scientific tafsir, or whatever other methodology of tafsir, as long as it is following a correct ijtihadi methodology, proper usul, as long as it's not contradicting the narrated tafsir, as long as it's not changing the religion, it is acceptable. It is acceptable because scholars understand that the Quran is that deep, that people can just keep deriving deeper and deeper meanings from it. And so it is completely acceptable today to write a thematic tafsir of the Quran, or a tafsir by opinion, or a tafsir based on fiqh, or any of these other methods of tafsir, as long as you are not contradicting the foundations, as long as you're not going against that which has been narrated about that verse or about that surah, and as long as you're not using a methodology that is un-Islamic. So this is thematic tafsir, and I want to thank you all again for your time and for your questions. May Allah accept this from us. Jazakallah khairan. Until next time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.